Hello, and welcome to episode 67 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a show about the reigning NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers with a focus on statistical analysis. The Cavs have just lost a stunning Game 3 to the undermanned Celtics 111-108. The Cavs are still up 2-1 in their Eastern Conference Finals series and will play Game 4 on Tuesday in Cleveland at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on TNT. I am Keith Carter, a lifelong Cavs fan living in San Francisco. My co-host Arnav is unavailable tonight, but I wanted to talk about tonight's game a bit, so it'll be just me flying solo. But before I start unpacking the disaster that was tonight, you can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. We've been getting a few more questions lately. I'll just repeat, if you want me to mention your name, please say so in your tweet or email or Reddit post or however you contact me, because I don't want to out anybody that doesn't want to be. On to tonight. So the Cavs lost at home with the Celtics playing without Isaiah Thomas, their best player. The Cavs led this game by at least 20 points. I don't remember what their biggest lead. This was the largest blown lead of LeBron James's postseason career. His teams were 49-0 when they led by 20 points or more. He didn't score in the fourth quarter. This is the first time he's played the entire fourth at home without scoring since February 24th, 2006. His overall line tonight was 4 of 13 for 11 points, 6 turnovers, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. He played 45 minutes and 3 seconds. There were some good things about the Cavs' performance tonight, but LeBron James' performance was basically, if you had to pick one reason why the Cavs lost, it was that. They're just not very good when he doesn't play or when he plays like this, and it showed. Zooming out a little bit further, the Cavs had some incredible shot-making in the first half. They went 9 of 13 from 3 in the first quarter. So they were shooting, 69%. Kevin Love was 5 of 7. Irving was 3 of 3. J.R. Smith made his only 3. I mean, they couldn't miss. At halftime, Brad Stevens was interviewed, and they asked him, what they need to do. And he's like, I thought we were playing okay. The Cavs had some lucky shot making, and we just have to hope that regresses. And he got needled for that a bit on Twitter. The Cavs, after all, were up 16, I think, at halftime. He was absolutely right. In the second half, the Cavs went 2 of 17 from 3, and the Celtics were, 11 of 22 from 3 in the second half. So, sure enough, the luck turned around for the Celtics and turned south for the Cavs, and that was sort of it. And it's a shame for a number of reasons. I mean, the first is, I think before this game, we were sort of at a local maximum in terms of optimism about the Cavs. For a long time, they've been, the Warriors were 4-1 favorites to win the NBA Finals. So a $4 bet would win you $1. That switched to 3.25-1. So you know, the odds were starting to tilt toward the Cavs after that 50-point blowout. They won game 2 by 41. And it's disappointing because now the Cavs sort of, they looked like they did toward the end of the regular season, which is losing games they just absolutely should not be losing, and doing it in a way that's really sort of alarming. I think we're left here. It's important to keep perspective here. The Cavs had been spectacular for their previous 10 games, and they were sort of building momentum, and they were incredible in the first half again tonight. Kevin Love, even with a really substandard second half, he missed a fairly wide open corner three toward the end of the game that would have made a big difference. But Kevin Love played well overall. He had 28 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 10 rebounds. Tristan Thompson was by far the best player on the Cavs tonight. He had 18 points on 4 shots. He was 3 of 4 from the field. That's right. That means he was 12. He made 12 free throws. He was 12 of 15 from the line, which I'm guessing is a career high in number of maybe a number of free throws too. I'll have to look that up later, and I'll tweet about it. But yeah, Thompson played really well. He was a menace defensively, and the Celtics still don't have an answer for him on the boards. J.R. Smith had a little bit of a coming out party. He took 8 shots. All of them were threes. He made 4 of them. He also had 8 rebounds, which continues his sort of pretty good and mysteriously good rebounding over the last over the series. And Kyrie Irving looked really good. He scored 29 points on 15 shots. He was 10 of 15. He was 4 of 6 from 3. And yeah, like all those things were good signs. It's just that LeBron was I don't want to overstate this, but he was horrible. 6 turnovers is totally unacceptable. And 11 points, and it took him 13 shots to get it. It's his first, that breaks his run of consecutive 30 points games. He was tied with Michael Jordan for the lead there. He had 8 in a row. And yeah, it's hard to know. He didn't look sick. I watched his post-game press conference. He started the press conference well. He owned up to the loss. He said, look, everyone else played well tonight. I just didn't have it tonight. It's on me. And then I was sort of impressed with his maturity there. And then he snapped at Kenny Rota, who's a radio host on the AM station in Cleveland. And he snapped at him sort of unnecessarily. He said something like, oh, Kenny, how come you only ask questions when we lose? Which, for one, isn't true. And secondly, nobody wants to talk to LeBron when they lose because he acts sort of nastily towards the reporter. So, yeah, I mean, he's got a bit of a Popovich thing going on there. But anyway, yeah, I thought it was sort of unfair of LeBron to snap there. But, you know, look, he's probably in a little bit of a sour mood. The Cavs will now have to play Game 5 in Boston, which is a bit of a bummer. So they'll have to fly to Boston and fly to Cleveland. The Warriors, on the other hand, look like they will probably win Game 4 tomorrow. They won Game 3 handedly. They play Game 4 in San Antonio tomorrow. San Antonio, of course, is without their star player Kawhi Leonard. And so the Warriors will probably fly back tomorrow night, and then they'll just be waiting in California. So the Cavs will have to fly to Boston, fly to Cleveland, and then fly to California if... I'm still assuming the Cavs are going to win this series. Not that concerned, but that's a lot of travel for the Cavs that the Warriors just won't have to do. A couple other sort of interesting things about tonight. There was a brief little, kerfuffle between Avery Bradley and Kyrie Irving during the third quarter. Tyronn Lue called a timeout immediately after that. I was very pleased with that timeout when he called it. The Cavs don't need to be getting into some kind of, altercation situation with the Celtics. So, yeah, I think Lou has continued to be really impressive with his timeout management. He had some more great out-of-timeout plays tonight, and the Cavs needed them in the fourth quarter. Just in terms of looking for positive signs, I thought that, Lou has continued to be impressive. The final 2 minutes of this game were pretty interesting. The Celtics scored on every possession in the final 2 minutes. I'm trying to remember exactly how it went. So the final play of the game was Avery Bradley. He shot a three that bounced on the rim 17 times and went in. And that was basically the game. So the Cavs lost the game by 3. The possession before that, Jonas Jerebko made what was almost a three, but his right foot was on the line. The possession before that, Al Horford made a 6-foot pull-up jumper in the lane. The possession before that was the weird possession where Marcus Smart was fouled shooting a three. And they also got an extra point in that possession because there was an Al Horford 2 from earlier that they rolled a 3. So that was a potential 4-point possession, but ended up just being 3 because Smart missed one of the free throws. But anyway, this is making a short story long here. This is a long-winded way of saying, yeah, the Cavs' defense during the last 2 minutes was alarming. And generally, giving up 111 points to the Isaiah Thomas-less Celtics when the Cavs are at home is not a good sign. There have been you know, various signs throughout the Cavs' 10-game winning streak and their 11th playoff game tonight, where it looked like, you know, maybe the Cavs were playing a little bit defensively, but it was a little bit hard to tell because they played much of the Raptors series without Kyle Lowry playing. They've played these last two games against Boston with, the first two games against Boston, Isaiah Thomas was limited. He didn't play the second half of game two, and then he didn't play at all tonight. And the Cavs are still letting these guys get 111 points. That's got to be a concern looking forward to the Warriors series. But I think just sort of switching hats here briefly, LeBron just basically didn't have it tonight. I don't know what happened. Maybe he had some bad clam chowder in Boston and he's suffering the effects from that. Somebody was joking on Twitter that they saw Brad Stevens give LeBron a briefcase at halftime. So yeah, maybe he was bribed. It's just sort of hard to know what was going on there. It was odd. I thought LeBron would come out with some enthusiasm because I know he's aware of the streak of consecutive 30-point games. The first half was a little bit odd because Irving and Love were so hot that if LeBron forced a couple shots, it would seem particularly outrageous because those other guys were so on fire. So yeah, LeBron was disengaged early and then he just couldn't get it going. Late. I mean, he had 3 points in the second half and was just, he looked sort of really out of sorts. I am squarely in the camp that LeBron James is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan, but I feel compelled to point this out. LeBron James has had 6 playoff games with fewer than 15 points. Michael Jordan has had 0. I want to look up how many of those sub 15 point games came early in LeBron's career, but this one did not come early in LeBron's career. And this one, if he would have had 15 points, the Cavs would have won. So yeah, another plank in the argument for pro MJ folks. Let me see if there's anything else from the box score to mention. The best player on the court tonight for the Celtics was Marcus Smart. He scored 27 points on 14 shots. He made 7 three-pointers. He was 7 of 10 from 3. He had 7 assists. He was great. He continues to be a little bit of a problem for the Cavs defensively. But starting for the injured Isaiah Thomas, he was better than Isaiah Thomas was in either of the games he played against the Cavs. And yeah, there was some interesting discussion on Twitter about, you know, well, maybe Marcus Smart can be a point guard. He's not quite fast enough, but he does, you know, he's a decent passer. Maybe they'll examine that a little bit more in the offseason. Avery Bradley was also quite good. He was only 8 of 23 from the field, but of course he made the game winner as time was expiring. And I was particularly impressed with his post-game interview. Post-game interview after game two was incredible given the circumstances. I mean, they just got waxed by, you know, 40 plus at home. And I just thought he was particularly articulate and relaxed and just in the face of everything that was going on. I thought he was good. And then, yeah, he was also great tonight. I'm impressed with Avery Bradley. He's a good player. Al Horford was okay, 16 points on 7 of 18 shooting. He still can't rebound, only 2 rebounds in 36 minutes of play. He did have 6 assists, and he did have a huge 6-foot, I think it was a right-handed hook shot in the last minute of the game that put the Celtics up. Anything else from the box score here? Not really. Jaylen Brown came back to earth after a huge game two. He was 0 of 3 tonight. He only played 12 minutes and he didn't score. As for what to look for in game four, I will be shocked if the Cavs don't win game four by 10 plus. They were 17 point favorites tonight, which was, I saw something from ESPN Stats and Info saying that this was the worst loss for a team in terms of spread. But I can't imagine ESPN Sports and Info has data on what the spread was for every game before the game started. And then like different sports books have different spreads. So I'm not sure how they would even officially keep that stat. But anyway, yeah, this was the optics of this loss are bad for the Cavs. But I would be surprised if they're not, you know, 12, 13 point favorites for game four. And I just can't imagine LeBron coming out and laying another egg like that. If he does, then we'll really have something to talk about. But he's been good for so many games in a row. One of the most, we've talked about this on the show intermittently over the last 2 months. In terms of variance, LeBron is one of the most consistent players in the NBA. Like, he doesn't go out and score 50 anymore, but he goes out and gets you 25 almost every night. And to see him perform so far below his mean performance is highly unusual. And I would be shocked if it happens again. Modulo him being injured or sick or something. I can't imagine that. So, yeah, hopefully the Cavs look better on what'll it be? It'll be Tuesday night, and I expect them to. One final thing from the LeBron interview. He talked about. But the exact quote was, "I feel some adversity is all part of the postseason. You have to have some type of adversity in order to be successful." Yeah, an optimist might say, like, hey, the Cavs had been cruising and, you know, getting slapped in the face might humble them a little bit. I think the downside of having to travel to Boston and travel back is not worth it. I think the Cavs were probably getting a little bit too haughty and needed to be humbled a little bit. For example, apparently they were playing Space Jam music during the player intros. I don't like that kind of stuff generally. And yeah, you should aspire to be a little bit more humble than the Cavs probably were coming into tonight. So maybe they will be now, and they'll take things more seriously. I don't know if taking things seriously was going to be a problem in the finals anyway, but if it was, hopefully this got it out of their system and the Cavs can come out and look like the Cavs we've seen over the last month in game four on Tuesday. Before I sign off, I'd like to answer a couple email questions that we've gotten. One of them was about the All-NBA teams. And I'll just read the question. DeMar DeRozan was voted 13th All-NBA over Klay Thompson, among a few others. This is obviously a statistical injustice. By RPM, DeMar is the 23rd best shooting guard in the NBA, while Klay is the third. It's been a while since your RPM episode, so this might give you guys a good opportunity to talk about the statistic in the context of these two. Yeah, it has been. That RPM episode is unfortunately one of our least listened to episodes of all time, which is really disappointing. I'd like to take another look at RPM for a couple reasons. One, I think a lot of people don't understand it. Two, I no longer think it is the single best number for evaluating, for having predictive evaluation of player performance. I think some of the multi-season RPM models are better now, but we'll get into that in the offseason. In any case, I don't know what the right word is. I'm really irritated that DeMar DeRozan was voted to an All-NBA team. I mean, he's just so not a top 15 player in the NBA. And that he made that team says so much about sort of the state of the land in terms of like how people understand how the game is played and who's actually really good. I mean, we appear to still be in an era where, like, if you're in the top five in the NBA in scoring, you must be really good. And that just isn't the case. He is a medium efficiency volume scorer. He's not very good defensively. He can't pass. And it's, I mean, yeah, Klay Thompson is a much, much, much better player than him. And it's disappointing that, the media just can't. I mean, there are some nuanced player differences that I would hope that people would be able to notice, but like this is just such an egregious one. It's confusing. Anyway, we'll probably take that on more in the offseason. Another question was, this person says, "You voiced frustration for lose management of LeBron's minutes this season, leading the league and playing too much. Is it possible this decision was strategic, an attempt to condition LeBron to play 42 to 46 minutes in the finals? My thought is that the strategy for playing the Warriors is to outlast and tire them out. This is only possible with the Cavs starters and LeBron, plus an outstanding offensive second unit. Everyone has to rest except LeBron. The Cavs use the 3 to 6 minutes when LeBron is on the floor and KD, Draymond are resting to build leads," or KD, blah, 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 it goes on. So basically, I think this question is, do I think the Cavs are playing LeBron 45 minutes a game and having him lead the NBA in minutes during the regular season as some sort of strategy to condition him for the finals? No, I don't think that's why they played him so many minutes. They expressed several times that they wanted to cut his minutes and then they refused to. So it certainly wasn't done in prospect. In retrospect, you may be able to say that that was a benefit because LeBron did not get injured and he's probably slightly better conditioned to play that. But even if you wanted to condition him to be able to play, I mean, you could still play him 35 minutes a night and then just throw him on the VersaClimber for 15 minutes after, or do something else that's non-contact and at least as intense as running around on the floor. So even if that was their strategy, I don't think actually having him play minutes would be the safest way to do that. So yeah, anyway. So yeah, those were the two questions we got. And so I just wanted to answer those. I think Arnav will be available for game two. So we'll be doing a longer podcast on Tuesday and hopefully it'll be a little bit more positive this one. Sorry for the sort of depressing tone of this one. It was not a great night for Cavs fans, but I expect that to reverse and for things to be significantly more positive on Tuesday. As always, thanks for listening. You can contact us at, going to scroll to the right spot. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. And yeah, we answer everything there by the channel you reach out to us on. And most of the time I'll bring it on the air. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Cavalytics. Thanks for listening and go Cavs.